We start our second hour. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Hope you had a good weekend. We spent the first hour talking about the top story. A noose was found in the garage of the 43 car. We talked about the Smackoff as well. And then I've got three interviews coming up starting in the middle of this hour. Welcome back. Program's brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I've got Pete Thamel coming up at 10:40 Pacific. Top of hour number three, I have Alika Williams, a draft pick of the Tampa Bay Rays. Also coming up in hour number three, PGA Tour Pro, Keegan Bradley. I've got the ATP. I've got other topics, other stories. And a lot of recap to the Smackoff. A lot of controversy. And listen, further evidence that it works. It was deep. People care. People are passionate. People are unhappy. The worst thing would be apathy. Like, if nobody cared and nobody reacted, then it would show that, man, this thing is over. It's done. It's played. It's tired. It's faded. It no longer works. Let it go, Rome. You're done. It's done. Nothing could be further from the truth. We took 19 calls. Not only was there controversy at the very top, the way there always is, there was a lot of controversy from people who thought that some should have been in the top 10. We're now literally arguing about who should be in the top 10. That's how deep that field is. 19 telephone calls, only two were run. That's how deep it is. Good callers on the outside looking in did not make it in. That's how deep that field was. And that's 26 years in. 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome if you want to respond to it there. You can also email me, although Adam Hawk is having issues with the email today. I'm not sure why that is. It just is. If I've said it once, I've said it a million times. Don't email without a clean line. Like I said on Friday, do not call unless you have a good clean line. And then we go to a caller and it's not a clean line. It was our fault. Be accountable. I'm accountable. That was my fault. That was my fault. That was on me. I put Iafredi at a disadvantage. That's all I'm asking. In response to something like that, maybe you own what you did, like I'm owning what I did. That was my fault. I put that guy in a bad spot. Probably didn't help. But then again, he was good enough to come back. Instead of going to a long-form rant at the top of this hour, I want to keep going to the reaction because there is so much. This guy was eligible. He had a golden ticket. But as I mentioned in the weeks leading up to it, having an invite does not guarantee you will get on the air. Drizzle in Wichita. My man, sorry I couldn't get you in, but good to have you here. Drizzle, what's up?
Yo, what's happening with you, Romy Rome? How you living today,
good,
baby?
Good, good, dude. How about you?
Yo, man, I can't call it. You know what I'm saying? This is Layton. But yo, man, first thing is first. Some of y'all still really just don't get it. The same stuff that Muhammad Ali was fighting for is the same stuff that people are still fighting for in 2020. You see, nobody beat Muhammad Ali for the World Heavyweight Championship. It was taken for him when he refused to go and fight in a government's war that he felt was not fighting his fight for his people as well. And it's the same thing now as it is back then. And I hate reading comments about, oh, this is the most press Bubba Wallace has ever got, as if to say that somehow, whether or not Bubba Wallace is or isn't a good enough driver to even be in NASCAR, negates exactly what happened. Do y'all understand that if you tell somebody through a text message that you're going to kick their ass, that that's a terroristic threat and you can get 13 years for that? But what is some guy going to get who put a noose in Bubba Wallace's garage, nothing but told, hey, don't ever do that again. Oh, I'm sure he'll learn his lesson. Congratulations. Now, Rome, not to preface it too much, man. Dak, take the money. It ain't going to get no better for you. And I know this because Tom Brady won 9 Super Bowls. It took $30 million. That's that. Now, as far as the Smackoff goes, hey, Rome, didn't I put up a warning? Didn't I tell everybody that they were better off trying to pour gasoline on their body and then run through hell to cool off afterwards than to say my name? 19 phone calls, Rome, is what you took. And not a single one was ignorant enough to call out Drizzle because they know the score. Yeah, I didn't get on, but the reckoning is real, and don't pretend like I ain't a force, homie. Now, say my name because you know it. I'm out.
Drizzle in Wichita. Did not make it in this year. Keep grinding. Keep pounding. Keep battling. I can't get to everybody, man. That's what's so great about this event. There are good people and good calls that do not make it there. Maybe that's my mistake. Understand one more thing about this, all right? I'm not looking for anything other than to be accountable and responsible for what we do day of. Understand that is not an easy show to do day of. Stakes are high. We're doing it live. We're doing it in real time. And we have to make some tough decisions on the fly as we go. Keep that in mind. We do the best we can. I call it the way I hear it. I mean, can you imagine trying to score that thing as you go? Can you imagine trying to score that thing at the very end? I wish you could be here on the inside to see what that final segment is like after we've taken our last call, and especially when the last three calls flipped the script completely and we had to make a tough call, not to mention the top 10. You can only imagine what that last segment is like as we are tabulating, finalizing, making our decision. Man, it is something. It is tough. And credit to you, clones. You made it more challenging than it's ever been before. There's some years where it's not nearly as hard. This year was really hard because there were so many good calls. Really good calls. I've given you my breakdown. Let me go to this guy for his breakdown. He's become known for this. Either he shows up day of or he shows up day after and breaks down what he heard day of. Let's go to San Antonio. Gino. Hey, Gino, how are you?
Man, I'm doing good. I loved that last phone call from Drizzle, but honestly, if 19 people call and none of them reference you, it's not because you're relevant, bro. But, you know, whatever. Good for you. 17 great calls on Friday, and two people Earnharting themselves in the jungle walls. Romy, it's come and gone. I, for one, enjoyed Friday as much as any smack-off I've ever heard, but some things really did stick out to me. For example, Victor by Broadway, pairing up with Greg in Vegas. Not since Ford decided to combine the gas tank and the rear bumper in a Pinto has a decision seemed so clearly designed to fail. I mean, you do know that Greg's entire act is based on ramping up amputee smack until Rome just can't take it anymore, right? This was your plan, Victor, a tandem bike ride with a guy who had his chances of dying with any dignity surgically removed years ago? Nah. And Sarah T, to quote Benny, clean it up, girl. By now, I'm sure you've noticed the panhandlers in Providence are throwing change at you at the stoplights. Clean it up. And Mark in Boston, look, Mark, I mean, you fled Michigan. You abandoned your home state. Call it a win. Nobody blames you. I'd be embarrassed if I was from Michigan, too. We understand. It's okay. You did the right thing. Caleb in Green Bay, a true tale of woe. Not since the Winklevoss twins has anybody so clearly had success ripped away from them by technology. I actually think you had the best call of the day. That's my opinion. It was easily the cleverest, but your connection just ruined that phone call. Mike and Indy, I'm on record as a fan, bro. I literally bought the You Better Don't t-shirt online from you, but your call formula has less dexterity than Mickey Rourke's face. Your material is so repetitive that they can't even make a drinking game out of it because people would die halfway through your call. Your calls run more hot and cold than Taylor Swift and Jake Gyllenhaal. And I know that Jeff in Richmond called, but I did not hear one thing that he said because I was so mesmerized by the images that he sent in. These were the good ones, Jeff? Romy, why did you keep showing IMDb images of Johnny Roast Beef from Goodfellas during his phone call? Or was that Paul Sorvino after he put the weight on? I really couldn't tell. And what was the point of that hashtag in the picture, Jeff? Holler if you hear me. Was it because the girl that was hugging your gut in the picture was so far away from your head that it's likely she couldn't make out what you were saying? Look, I know the camera puts on 10 extra pounds, but how many cameras were you using for those pictures? And those images were creepy, bro. I'm willing to bet in the next year they won't even be referred to as pictures. They'll be called evidence. And finally, congratulations to Lev for winning the 2020 Smack-Off, even though he didn't use any gimmicks, no helicopters, no studio crashing, no luxury payphones in Dana Point. But hey, listen, you won $5,000, right? I mean, that's really something. Oh, wait, you live in California where state income tax is so high that it actually makes better financial sense to just not show up and take the money. But at least you won the Smack-Off in a year where nothing else is going on, so I'm sure it's going to stand out. And in the years to come, when we think back on 2020, it'll be remembered as the year Left won his third. But in all seriousness, Rome, there really is a lot of far more important things going on in the world right now, and it might seem out of place to be calling in just to crack on each other, but in all honesty, I cannot think of another time where I really needed to have a good laugh and hear from callers that really do make the daily grind a little more bearable for me. So to all the callers that called in on Friday, I want to thank all of you for your efforts, your time, and your energy that I know it takes to call into a Smack-Off. And to you, Romy, and to all the fellows behind the glass in the studio, I say thanks for the Vine.
My man, Gino, I appreciate you. That's a great call. That is a great, great call and a great recap. He's known for that. As you might imagine, Gino on day of is as good as anybody. And on day after, probably better than anybody. Gino, San Antonio, old school. He's done that a long, long time. That's a great breakdown. 1-800-636-8686. You might be listening and think to yourself, damn, Gino, you should do that on Friday. You don't live in California. You might get to keep some of that money. That's a great line. Better to just not call in if you're in Cali than to win the $5,000. He did win $5,000. The winner gets $5,000. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Houston. Josh in H-Town. Hey, Josh, how are you?
I'm doing great. Jim, I want to apologize to you directly. I sent out a tweet on Friday talking about how terrible the Smack-Off competitors were, and I don't want that to reflect poorly on how great some of the guys were. I'm sorry. Callan Vegas, Brad and Corona, Leth and Laguna, Sean the Cablinasian, one of my friends, all brought the heat like geriatrics on a racquetball court. But what was going on with some of that lineup, man? I got to talk about Mike and Indy. That's what I'm coming here for. Some of that was god-awful. And no one takes the I have a terrible idea, but I'm going to do it anyway cake more than Mike and Indy. I personally called out Mike and Indy on Twitter and in that tweet, Jim, and 3 days later he found it and decided to respond. You know what that means, Jim? 3 days later, Mike decided to search his own name out on Twitter, scroll through every single mention, and choose to respond to me. Just like Jesus rose from the grave after 3 days, hunchback redneck Jesus Mike rose from his mom's basement and back with Indianapolis and gathered his army of Midwest beer belly cupcake crushing henchmen to attack a smack off nobody. That's where he's at in his smack off career, Jim. Mike's like the Kevin Durant on his burner account yelling at fans of smack off competitors. Mike's like the boomer who just started yelling at everyone about how MTV and rock music are going to be the downfall of society. Jesus, Jim. 3 days in 2020 is like 5 years in normal time since we're stuck in this portal of hell where a week feels like a month and a month feels like a year. But I guess Mike has been living that I've been binge watching reruns of Leave It to Beaver with my mom life for a while, so I guess he doesn't really know the difference. Mike might as well be complaining about how the movie Biodome doesn't accurately represent today's youth when he's crying on Twitter 3 days after he scripted his bit and still managed to screw it up.
Josh, bro, I didn't take offense to anything you said in particular, but that read was just exhausting. You're sucking the life out of me with that, man. Again, the thing about the smack-off, this goes back to some of you who are trying to make the argument that put a time limit. We don't gimmick it up. Although gimmicks did win a couple of them. But we don't gimmick up the smack-off with things like time limits, shot clocks. We don't need to do that. You just got to make your point. And if you have lots of points to make, that's fine, but make your point. You know, your whole point about in 2020, 3 days feels like 5 years. Fair enough. But sometimes a 2-minute call feels like 20 minutes in 2020. Keep the thing moving. 1-800-636-8686. Back to the phones. Let's go to New York City. My man John is in New York. Hey, John, how are you?
Tim, what's going on? How you doing?
Good, brother. How about you?
Good, good. Great smack off on Friday. The last segment was like watching a heavyweight title match, and it lived up to all the hype, all the expectations and everything. A couple of things, though, real quick, Jim. Mark and Boston's smack off call last year was better when he remained on hold for the entire show. He said we'd be sorry. And I was sorry that Hawk put him on. By the way, Jim, speaking of Hawk, the visual on CBS Sports Network was epic. I was afraid Caleb and Green Bay's call was going to euthanize Hawk right in front of our very eyes. If anybody hasn't seen it, go back and take a look at it. Burning. And the last thing, Jim, the other thing I wanted to mention real quick, I've identified the idiot gene shared between Mark in Hollywood and Vic in NoCal. When Mark tried to compare Vic and Rick's relationship to Sam and Diane, like a hostess dream, it's Jack and Diane. You loser! Jim, after this year, I'm going to make my way back to the Smack-Off. I'm going to earn my rep and come back in strong. Stay safe, my brother, and hopefully I'll hear from you soon.
John in New York calling his shot. He just put it out there. Now you know. If you didn't know, now you know. John in New York is going to be in the Smack-Off next year. I'll tell you what's kind of funny. What's kind of funny to me is a lot of you who could never, ever, ever play your way into the field can't wait to lay out all of you or all of them or some of them that did play their way in. Listen, you can talk about who finished in the top three or who finished in the top 10 or who finished outside the top 10 and is looking on the inside of the top 10. If you're one of the 19, you're pretty damn good. If you're one of the 19, you are the upper percentile of this here jungle, which makes you the upper percentile of anybody calling any show. That's why it's kind of funny to me that a lot of you can't wait to smack all of them who did play their way in, that made it into the big arena. It's not easy to do what the 10th place finisher did. It's not easy to do what the 12th place finisher did. None of that's easy. These are really talented people that are calling on that day. So if you want to get in line to kick them in the head, so be it. But understand, they made it in. They got in. I got nothing but respect for those who got in. 19 of them made it on air. I'm still laughing about the fact that 40 once made it on air in a smack-off, in a four-hour smack-off. Man, too bad we didn't have that smack-off during the five-hour show. Nut would be like, hey, Rome, don't you remember? In 1991, when you were still on at night, you had 78 callers. The show's never run like that. We've never been like, call. Except apparently that one day in the smack-off when we took 40 of them. Keep calling, weaklings. 1-800-636-8686. You want to keep calling because I've got another open segment, and then we go back-to-back with interviews. Next segment is the segment to call if you want to get in right away. 1-800-636-8686. I've got other topics. Maybe you watch UFC Fight Night Saturday night. There was a moment during that fight that was really difficult to watch, and it was not actually in the middle of the cage. It was in between rounds. I want to get into that if I have time. Pete Thamel's coming up at 40 past, I should say. Keegan Bradley is what I meant to say next hour. Alika Williams also coming up next hour. And a short timeout right now. When your battery goes dead, everything could come to a stop. Do not take a chance on getting stranded. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge. If your battery does need to be replaced, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery that fits your car or your truck at a guaranteed low price. Keep your car on the road by getting your battery tested for free. O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'ReillyAuto.com. Pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to your curbside. Or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Join Michael Breed as he tees off on the top headlines in the world of golf. Watch Course Record with Michael Breed today, 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, on CBS Sports Network. Still running through the reaction. DGo81 tweets, Mike in Indy is a legend, but his performance was more like MJ95 after a year off. He got ripped by Nick Anderson and watched Horace Grant get carried off. Time to get back in the gym. Jamie in Green Bay tweets, guess it's not so easy, is it, Josh in Houston? Thanks for playing. Levy Pants 07 tweets, Wargino in San Antonio, interrupting his smack-off recap to walk over and casually annihilate Jeff in Richmond. Now stay down, you washed-up redneck. That quote, washed-up redneck, looked for a while like he was going to win. He made a great call. That was Jeff in Richmond's best call in years. And for a time, it seemed like, and for a long time, it seemed like that was going to be good enough to win. All right, let's go to Mark in Boston. Mark in Boston did get on air this year. We go there next. Mark, what's going on? How are you?
Jimmy, thank you for taking my call Friday, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
That was the deepest field in show history. Like, Sean's belly button deep. Like, deeper than the poetry Caleb is writing right now about his phone call. Caleb, how in the hell is that possible? How was that your cell phone, or were you trying to get R2-D2 to translate your call in real time? Like, oh, dear, this is a bad phone call. And before all you nerds jump on me, yes, I guess that's 3PO. I'm raising nerds. I don't need your help. Rome, maybe the Romo cameo didn't hit like I wanted it to, but like Romo, I guess I'm back at the drawing board. I don't know if there's a Balco cream and clear equivalent for telephone calls, but I'm sure as hell I know it's not going to involve Rich Flores, but congrats to Rich on Smack Off 27. I also think it's time for Mike and Indy to reinvent himself. This guy used to hit number 2 every year, but now he's just like drifting down the leaderboard while still telling us how great he is. Mike, even Vanilla Ice reinvented himself and is flipping houses on HGTV. Just do us a favor and never try to operate sound bites or a computer ever again. Oh, cool. Now we get huge pauses during Mike's actual takes and even longer ones when he's trying to cue up audio without the Geek Squad standing next to him. Good job, bud. And hey, Drizzle, no one said your name yesterday because Bum Smack was outlawed a really long time on the show. Hey, I see Vic decided to jump in on the gimmick like me bandwagon. Bet you wish you could roll back the time stone on that train wreck, huh, buddy? Some cameos are like, whoa, I thought that guy was dead. And then other cameos are like, ugh, I hope that guy was dead. Greg in Vegas falls into the ladder. Hey, Jimmy, Chael mentioned Helen Keller in his call Friday. I have to relate, I kind of wish I couldn't hear or see his call after his performance. Chael just signed on with an upstart Greco-Roman wrestling called Slow Wrestling. Glad to see you've evolved into your true form as Nacho Libre, Chael. I'll watch Flow Wrestling if it's that lady from State Farm and, like, maybe some other girl, but that's about it. And I have a quick question. Dan, are you okay? You can't flub your lines while making fun of other people's lines on the Monday after. If you had that much trouble getting through your script on a Monday after the smack-off, maybe you shouldn't have sounded like you should have been in the call in the first place. Should we rack that call or fire up the defibrillator? That call was shakier than Michael J. Fox using his famous social media platform, Twitch.
Go ahead, Alvy.
No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
You may have hung up before you got run, but you got run. You might have beat the buzzer and gotten that shot off, but you got run. 1-800-636-8686. All right, the interview portion is going to start momentarily. Before I go to break, though, a quick heads up. I do want to talk about UFC Fight Night. And the fact that a fighter was on his stool between rounds, making it very clear to his coach, I don't want to go. Call it. Call it. Call it. And he said it not once, not twice, not three times. He said it 9 times in that minute. And yet his coach continued to try to encourage him to go out and fight when he had had enough. I want to get into that. And whether or not that was something that you want to take a guy to task for, or whether or not that was actually kind of a courageous move. And what about the coach? Whatever happened to the corner is there to protect the fighter from himself. The fighter himself was saying, I'm good. I don't want to do this. I've had enough. It's not my night. I want to go home. He said it 9 times. And yet his coach continued to tell him, no, you're good. You're fine. Go back out there. Never mind that he had no chance of winning the fight. Yeah, and I know it's a fight. Anything could happen. I'll tell you what was not going to happen in the fight. He was not going to win that fight. I want to talk some golf, if possible. PGA with another good event over the weekend. Dak Prescott going to sign that tender. Is that a good idea or a bad idea? And what's that do for his leverage? And I've got Pete Thamel coming up next segment. We'll talk about college football and whether or not we're going to see it this year. Alika Williams is a 2020 draft pick at the Tampa Bay Rays. We will have that for you at the top of the hour. PGA Tour Pro Keegan Bradley will be in our final segment in hour number 3. And also in ATP, if there's a question you want to ask me, ask away. Get it done. 1-800-636-8686. Let's get a break in here, Avi. Oops. Time now for a sports update. Look at that. Here's the very...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
It is the show after the show. Obviously, people are going to be bent. People are always pissed after the smack off, which tells me once again that it works. He might tell you I got it wrong, but it tells me it works. That's 26 now, and it works great. We are beginning the interview portion of the program. We are efforting Pete Thamel, and we will have that for you momentarily. In the meantime, as these things go, you should take advantage of that. You never know when a call or when a guest may or may not call. So, 1-800-636-8686. Alika Williams, once again, will be with us at the top of the hour. Keegan Bradley is coming up next hour. And we are still recapping what happened on Friday. I do want to talk about UFC Fight Night. I feel pretty strongly about that and what I saw. I just need more time than I have right now to set that up. And I will. Also, PGA Tour event. Another strong event over the weekend. And if I can, I will reset that. As I'm efforting Pete Thamel, as I mentioned, sometimes guests are not where we think they're going to be, which means I can get a phone call in. Let's go to Cocoa Beach. Rob, good to have you. Rob, how are you?
Rome, been a clone for such a long time. There was a time where I met you in California. I was at the Rose Bowl. You were at the Mighty 690. Some fresh-faced kid like myself coming up to you. You took the time. You said hello. You know, the smack-off this Friday was unbelievable. It was even better because Matt in L.A. did not get on. His calls remind me of Jamie from Progressive. Hi, this is Matt. Leave a message at the beep. Hi, Matt. It's me, Matt. This is your daily pep talk. I know it was your second year getting a golden ticket, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the one that Les Magoota and Brandon Carrera always keep bashing about. There's always next year. Maybe, just maybe, you'll get on again and be on hold one more time. Jim, I'm going to practice. I'm going to get good. Just remember, Robin Cocoa Beach will be ready next year. Jim, thank you.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call.
Sorry about that, Rob. No, I'm not. Sorry. I'm sorry you made that call. I'm not sorry I did that. Man, I hate that. I hate it when a guy says to me, damn, Roman, I met you 20 years ago. You were so cool to me. Respect, respect, respect. And then you make a bad call and I have to run you. Man, don't stop putting me in that position. As promised, we're joined right now by a national college football and basketball reporter for Yahoo Sports. He is co-host of the Yahoo Sports College Podcast. Pete Thamel is my guest. Pete, good to have you back. How are you?
Hey, Jim, thanks for having me. Good to be here, man.
Good to have you, Pete. Thanks so much. Listen, before we get into all the news about the positive COVID test for a number of college football programs, Pete, if we were to go back a few weeks, what was the sense that you were getting from ADs and coaches about what the upcoming season would look like if we were to go back a few weeks? What were they saying then?
Well, I think, you know, it's gone in fluctuations, right? You know, mid-March, everything happens. NCAA tournament gets canceled. There's shock, and then there's pessimism. And then there was a slow lurch towards some optimism. You know, everyone put together a little booklets, return to play plans, that kind of thing. And so then all of a sudden dates were set and the NCAA passed, or NCAA committees passed, like, what practice plans would look like. And all of a sudden, you know, the season, which was, you know, in flux, became a little bit more tangible, Jim. And now that everybody's back 3 weeks in, or people are in the midst of coming back or coming back, I think we're back into like, oh boy, this is going to be a lot harder than we thought. Between both the positive tests that have happened everywhere, I mean, quite frankly, there's been hundreds, and then the quarantine methods that have to come with that, with contact tracing, people are seeing like, wait, so if this happens the week of the fill in the blank game, we're going to have to sit this many people. Well, if this happens to our O-line room, what are we going to do? So I just think the complexities of playing a college football season during the pandemic are staring these ADs and coaches right in the face, and they're worried.
We're talking to Pete Thamel. All right, Pete, you mentioned the influx of positive tests. As an example, there was news that there were 23 positive tests at Clemson, 13 at Texas, 14 positive tests at Kansas State, which led the Wildcats to suspend voluntary training for 2 weeks. Like, for instance, Clemson. Is that an outlier, or when you see the report from SI that LSU had 30 players in quarantine, does it seem like there are a lot of programs that are facing huge numbers like that?
Yeah, I think there are as many programs facing huge numbers as there are facing small numbers. And again, we don't have, there's no uniform reporting. And so we don't know. But I was told that the Clemson and LSU situations are not anomalies. There is that's happening at a lot of other places. They've just chosen to not announce it.
We're talking to Pete Thamel. Like, one FBS coach told you, quote, none of us are even practicing right now, and we're still having to quarantine dudes. Like, how concerning is that?
Well, I think it's really concerning, Jim. And here's kind of the quiet part people are starting to say out loud, is that if the virus runs through your team, and as unseemly as it sounds, everybody's healthy and you're on the other side of it, that could be considered a competitive advantage. Now, I'm not intimating that anybody's trying to get their team, you know, to give the virus to their team. But if it does happen, and again, there is still some science to sift through on if you can get, you know, you can get it twice and everything like that. But there are coaches who saw what happened at Clemson and said, no, that's going to help them in the fall.
It's unbelievable. Pete Thamel is joining us.
It's difficult to say out loud, but it's just in this environment, if you're going to play a season, there's going to be some uncomfortable truths.
All right. So in terms of the colleges, like, Pete, the professional leagues can do certain things that colleges cannot do in terms of bubbles because they're amateur athletes and they're also college students. How much then does that impact college sports?
Well, it's a huge amount, Jim. And I've said this on your show the last couple of months when I've come on and talk about this. College football is the single hardest sport to play because of the college piece of it. Like, you know, I had some ADs say to me, do we send our players to class? Because say the starting quarterback goes to class on Friday morning and he sits next to some bros who've been out at the bar Thursday night. They get it. They contact trace. He was in a, you know, next to a dude for, you know, the amount of period of time where it comes to contact tracing. And then you lose your quarterback for 14 days. Like, this is happening on college campuses. This is what one AD was really worried about. He's like, we're getting all these positive tests on campus when there really aren't any students here. It's as controlled as this environment is going to be. When you get all the thousands of students coming back in the upcoming months, it's only going to be more and more difficult to do that. And we cannot expect these college athletes. And look, these are not million-dollar independent contractors, right? These are college students. We can't expect them to go practice 3 hours a day and then live monastic lives where they're going to meet with their position coaches on Zoom and then just watch Netflix and sleep and study the rest of the time. That's just not fair, and it's not the reality. So, this was never going to be a linear journey through this season, and now we're just, I think, for the first time, seeing in real time the complications that are facing these programs.
We're talking to Pete Thamel. I was going to say, Pete, I agree with you. I think it's just not realistic to think that these players are not going to act like college students. Like, they're not going to go off campus. They're not going to go to parties. They're not going to interact with other people in areas where they might contract the virus or pass it to somebody else. To me, I agree with you. It's not realistic. You've also written that statistically, there may be very few COVID cases that relate in or end up in deaths in the 15 to 24 age bracket. So there might be people who think that, well, we can test positive, but we're not going to die. What's the big deal? What do administrators and coaches make of that argument?
You know, it's interesting. I think it varies by everyone. Like, I mean, a couple coaches said to me, when this thing's going to get shut down when someone dies. You know, I mean, these are just like real conversations I'm having with coaches, you know, the past couple of weeks. And like, that's, you know, like that, those are, I mean, like, think about how crazy that sounds. But like, if somebody's immunocompromised or somebody has a pre-existing condition and the virus exacerbates that. Like, but I've had somebody say, look how few guys have been hospitalized. Look at all the asymptomatic, you know, players that come up. And again, I'm not necessarily agreeing with them, but that perspective does exist out there. So look, we live in polarized times right now, Jim. I don't have to tell you that, right? Like, there's, you know, like when you look at everything, politically, I mean, masks have become politicized, right? And I think those varying viewpoints, I'm hearing echo throughout all corners of college sports.
Right. Pete Thamel is joining us. So, Pete, what about the issue and the cost of testing? How big of a concern is the cost of testing and then the timeline for getting results back?
It's a huge factor. I mean, simply put, if you are at a Power 5 school with a big budget, you have a better chance to manage this, test guys, have a healthier team than you do if you're at a group of five school. And you know, one idea at a smaller school said to me, like, the ability to have rapid testing to, you know, to maybe be able to mitigate some of the quarantine if you can see if someone has the virus in a quick period of time, but also be able to afford to frequently test. I believe, and I'm not an expert on it because it's not my world, the NBA is going to test dudes every day, right?
If like not every day, then a few times a week for sure.
Yes, it's going to be very, very frequent. And these colleges can't afford to do it with that level of frequency. And so because of that, you're leaving, you know, these programs prone to issues.
So where does that lead them? I mean, the thinking is colleges always need the money that comes from college football, but they need it more than ever right now because of the financial impact of COVID. That said, I mean, is there obviously a scenario in which the positive tests become too much and the schools say, look, we cannot proceed with the season in good conscience, no matter how badly we need that money?
Yeah, to think all 130 college football teams are going to play their allotted 12-game schedule, I think at this point would be a little bit naive, Jim. Right, like there's too many complicating factors that exist out there to just think this is going to be executed that way. But if you're the athletic directors and the coaches, you really almost feel an obligation to the university, the athletic department, because it's not just like we got to play the season. It's like, well, the secretary needs to keep her job too, and if there's no season, like the financial ripple that would come without a season of college football being played would be just devastating to, you know, athletic departments around the country.
We're talking to Pete Thamel for a few more moments. Pete, one more topic before you go. UNLV removed its Hey Reb statue. Players at the University of Mississippi have called for the removal of the Confederate statue on the square in Oxford, Mississippi. So what do you make of the future of the Rebels nickname in college sports?
Yeah, it's hard to lump those two together because, you know, the thing in Mississippi just is such a more searing issue, in my opinion, just in terms of culturally and in considering that state's tortured history with race. And so I applaud the Ole Miss players. I really think what they did in standing up and asking for the Confederate statue in the square there in Oxford to be torn down is a powerful statement in a state where you know, they've tried in various ways for the last 20 years to get the Confederate symbol taken off the state flag, and it hasn't happened yet. But you know, in the wake of George Floyd's killing, and you know, the social justice movement that we've seen in the sporting environment and in America itself, I think the Ole Miss players are doing is one of the most powerful moments, because that is a state with a tortured racial history, and it's also a state too where I believe 38% of the residents are black. So I mean, it is daily tension in the state of Mississippi, and has been for decades there. And I really think that those players going forward, and if they are able to do that, you know, have the potential to create really dynamic change in that state.
I was going to say, not only in that state, Pete, I think it's a really powerful statement and it's a really powerful moment. Do you feel like it's a moment of change in terms of college athletes and their power?
Oh, there's no question about that. I mean, if you look at what Chuba Hubbard did at Oklahoma State, and I mean, that so many dynamic things have happened in terms of change. Jim, I don't even know if I can rattle them all off the top of my head right now. Think of Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins pressuring Clemson to change the name of the Honors College there, and I think a building's going to end up eventually being renamed there as well. Like, when you really start to see the dominoes falling, and you know, look, I just hope we're just getting started, because we have a long way to go. It's not a time to over celebrate, but I do think it's worth acknowledging that players have never had stronger platforms or stronger voices. And you know, it's a fascinating time in college athletics right now, because we're going to be transitioning to a time of name, image, and likeness, where these players are going to have a bigger voice. These players are going to have essentially their own agents and marketing agents and different things like that. The whole dynamics of college athletics are going to change quickly. I'm changing up. I mean, those guys had like tweets and hoodies. That's crazy that happened in 2020. And the, you know,
jump in there for a minute, Pete. I'm having an issue with the connection, and we're pretty much towards the end anyway. That's Pete Thamel. He's a national college football and basketball reporter for Yahoo Sports. He is the co-host of Yahoo Sports College Podcast. My man, Pete, sorry that had to end like that, but we are at the end of the hour, and that's another great conversation with you, Pete. Thanks so much. We had a connection issue at the very end of that. Pete Thamel, my guest. All right, that is the end of hour two. When we come back, we start our third hour. A couple of more conversations coming up in that hour. At the top, I've got a conversation with a 2020 draft pick of the Tampa Bay Rays, Alika Williams. That's coming up next segment, or in about 7 minutes from right now. At 11:40 Pacific time, 2:40 Eastern time, PGA Tour pro Keegan Bradley will be my guest. In the middle of those two interviews, I've got an open segment for you. And a lot more content to get to. If you want to call in, go ahead and do so. 1-800-636-8686. If you want to react to any of this on Twitter, that's a good way to go. Hit me at Jim Rome. Adam Hawk, do your emails work yet? The email is back up. So you can email the program directly at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. My thanks to Pete Thamel. Top of the next hour, we have Alika Williams of the Tampa Bay Rays. That is next. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Hour three, straight ahead.